Over the last few weeks, and for a couple weeks yet, we've been having these adult faith formation sessions on Wednesdays, reading one of the documents of the Second Vatican Council, the document on the liturgy. And one of the things that we have seen in this class is that one of the calls of the Second Vatican Council for Catholics was to grow in our familiarity with the sacred scriptures. In various places, the fathers of the council called for the Bible to be more fully available and open to the people of God. One of the ways that the Second Vatican Council enacted this was in giving us a fuller sampling of the scriptures in our Sunday readings. It used to be there was just one cycle of readings that repeated every year, and that there was only one reading and a gospel in the Mass. Now, of course, we have two readings and a gospel, and we have a three-year cycle. So we have a much richer sampling of the scriptures. When we hear the word of God in sacred scripture, especially as we do in the Mass, where it's a small section of the scriptures, it's always important for us to understand, and this would be something that the Vatican, fathers of Vatican II wanted us to understand, the fuller context, the big picture, if you will, of the Bible and scripture. And if all we have is a little snippet without that fuller context, then we have only a partial understanding, a partial picture. Take the first reading today, for example, from the book of Exodus, chapter 22, which speaks about the treatment of aliens and orphans and widows and loans to neighbors and care for the poor. This isn't just some random thing. This happens right after Moses has received the Ten Commandments. The people are at Mount Sinai. And what is happening now, just two chapters after God has given Moses the Ten Commandments, is he's interpreting for the people how those commandments apply to the particular situations and instances of their life. That's the broader context for our first reading. Context is so important. Context not only helps us understand better and more fully, it not only keeps us from just kind of a partial picture, but it also guards against a danger of a misinterpretation or a misunderstanding. We see this, I think, so often in our day and age in our soundbite culture, where we'll get a little snippet of something someone says and it becomes a headline, and we don't really understand the fullness of what's going on, because all we get is that little soundbite. We had an example of this past week. Maybe you saw Pope Francis in the headlines about, from a little snippet that he spoke in an interview in a new documentary that was released this week, in which he made some comments about civil unions for same-sex couples. And it was a small snippet lifted out of the full context of the pontificate of Pope Francis. If you know that fuller context of his teaching, you know that whatever was his intention in suggesting civil union laws, he certainly wasn't proposing a change to the church's moral teaching or sexual moral teaching, because he himself, on various occasions, has confirmed what the church has always taught, that marriage is a permanent, lifelong relationship between a man and a woman, and that and that alone is the proper context for sexual intimacy. In fact, he's even said explicitly that physical relations between members of the same sex are never in accord with God's plan. It's just an example recently of this lifting out of context, one little soundbite, and it distorts the fullness of the big picture. I don't know what the Holy Father ultimately was about here, because we don't have the full context, but if I had to speculate, and it's merely speculation, he is trying to be very sensitive to another moral teaching of our church, which is that we have to avoid any unjust discrimination against those who experience same-sex attraction. The love of neighbor, which our Lord calls us to, has no exception. Anyway, that's a little digression from this point, that we have to always understand things in context. And so we look at the gospel today, this familiar passage in which our Lord tells us that the greatest commandment is to love God with our whole being and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if that is all we read, there's a danger for us too of lifting this out of context and saying all these other laws, like the ones we heard in the Old Testament, and all these particular moral teachings of our church, they don't really matter because all we need is love, right? And this love becomes a kind of bland tolerance and just being nice to one another. But if we know the fuller context of the gospel, we know, for example, that earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus himself said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." And then he goes on to say, "Until heaven and earth pass away, not even the smallest part of a letter of the law will pass away. And whoever breaks even the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven." What is our Lord about here if he's not abolishing the law in favor of love? Well, he explains it in the very last line that we heard. "The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." What our Lord is teaching us here is that God's law, in all of its particularity, is precisely what true love looks like. And therein is the great project of our whole Christian life. And the struggle that is this long process in which we strive to conform our lives to that law of God so that we live fully this command to love God with our whole heart and our neighbor as ourselves. All of the particularities of God's law teach us what that looks like. That's why all the law depends upon this fundamental commandment of love. Context is so important. You know, every Sunday we gather here precisely to be reminded of the ultimate context for your life and mine. Here we're reminded that the ultimate context that gives meaning and purpose to our life isn't our career or our citizenship in our country, or even our particular family history. The ultimate context of your life and mine is the love of God, which has been manifest in the death and resurrection of his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That sacrificial love of Christ is made present before us here on the altar week after week after week, to remind us that this is the ultimate context of our life. Let's ask our Lord today then, as he gives us himself anew in the Holy Eucharist, to strengthen us to live his command of love faithfully in all of its particularity. Let's ask him for the grace we need to give ourselves over more and more generously to that work of conversion so that we might imitate that perfect love of God that we see in Christ our Lord. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.